You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Sandra Gray is the president of the Tertiary Education Union. She recently spoke at a forum at Massey University and said that the privatisation of universities impedes the ability of academics to discuss the actions of powerful institutions. An article published on the union's website on election day last year discussed how the previous national government posed significant threats to academic freedom. I started by asking Sandra what role the Tertiary Education Union play in ensuring New Zealand universities have academic freedom.
Well, the union plays a really strong role in ensuring that staff can do their job properly. And one of the crucial things we all need to do our job is to make sure that we have academic freedom. That means that we can talk out on really, really controversial issues if we have to, but also that we can actually critique our own institutions when they're not heading in the right direction. And for us, that's when they're not ensuring that students and the communities get the most out of this public investment, the public good that is universities and polytechs and Wānanga.
In the article that I was talking about, the writer defines freedom as students and teachers being able to learn and publish without interference from government or powerful institutions in our society. And do we need to be worried about this kind of interference? How much is it happening in New Zealand?
Well, look, the great thing is that we actually are protected in legislation, both the staff and students, to undertake this activity. So that's great. But actually what we've seen over the last decade or two decades is increasing those to narrow what the university is about, to narrow the focus down to kind of economic production, that we're there to serve the economy. The universities have never been about that. They're a much broader project about human progress, about our society, about our environment, the world we live in. And we do need to actually make sure that everyone appreciates that universities are there for that, including the employers, the people who run the institutions, including politicians, and make sure they don't narrow us down to saying it's only about getting a job, it's only about making sure we have a more productive economy, because that's not the aim of a university or a university education solely.
What do you think the biggest influence was to viewing universities like that? Do you think it was the GFC, or did it happen longer ago than that?
It's actually happened over basically three decades. It's just been more rigorous over time. And what we've seen is we've seen governments around the world in English-speaking nations, not just New Zealand, look at universities and say, how do we make sure we're getting more out of them, more and more out of them? But by more, they mean more in a narrow area. So it's been part of, you know, the broad project that is kind of global financial capital invading every space we live in, more about the neoliberal project and saying, you know, we want to make sure we get bang for our buck. And I mean, that debate is still going on. The point is, as a public, we want to put our money together to make sure, pull it together with taxation to make sure that we have institutions that are dealing with the big issues of society. Some of those will be economic, but some of them won't have an economic return. They'll be about something much broader. And we have to make sure that, you know, our politicians are heading our institutions in the right direction, not just supporting big business.
The piece that I was talking about earlier said that the national government that was previously in power were looking to privatise our universities, and they posed massive threat to academic freedom. Now that Labour is in government, do you have similar worries? What are your visions for the future?
I think what we're trying to do is work very closely with all of the parties in government to reclaim the public good that is education. So by that we mean that all of us benefit from it and all of us contribute to it. And one of the things we saw in past governments is increasingly students were made to take on private debt to fund their studies, which made them think that education was just about them and just about their private gain, what they'd get out of it. In fact, you know, we train people to be engineers and lawyers and teachers and nurses to benefit us all, not just because of that individual's personal needs and economic needs. So it's really important that we keep working with this government to say education is a public good. And we've seen the Minister of Education say that a few times already. The point is we've got a lot of policy, a lot of institutional rules, a lot of, you know, underspending on education to undo now.
If we got down into the specifics and thought about if some university departments, for example, law and engineering, have more academic freedom than, say, arts or fine arts. I don't know if you know, but at Auckland Uni at the moment, we're protesting the closure of the Elam Fine Arts Libraries. Do you think it would be true to say that some degrees are valued as a public good and others are not?
I think the economic framework that was put around universities, the idea that we have to contribute to economic growth, has led to some real distortions in our system. So I was just discussing recently with someone the fact that, you know, the last government said we need more money in STEM and sciences, technology, engineering, mathematics, at a very time when there weren't enough jobs for science graduates. But that was because, you know, the then government thought it was the only thing that would help the economy. And now we're having employers saying we want people with broad social skills. We need the social sciences and humanities. So there are distortions that have been created by what the last government did. And certainly our own institutions have responded, I'm going to say rationally, but not in a good way. So it's rational if the government puts more money into things to say we'll support more engineering and science. And if they're squeezing the funding in the arts, it's, you know, humanities, it is quite natural for institutions to say we're going to have to cut. But they shouldn't be doing that, and we should be looking now at stabilising the system, both the government and our institutions, so we can all talk about what we want and make sure they're delivering every area.
At a forum at Massey University recently, you said that heavy workloads are something that hinders particularly teachers and lecturers' role to critique society, as we were saying earlier. Could you expand on this?
Certainly. One of the things we have seen is as governments have withdrawn money from our institutions and institutions have not had the increases they needed to keep up with the cost increases in the universities and polytechnics and Wānanga, staff have borne the brunt of that in terms of increased workloads. And when you're really, really busy filling out forms or completing routine tasks, you don't have time to sit back and think about the big questions. You don't have time to go out, say, and do a community lecture and talk about your subject matter. You don't have time to engage with public debate, you know, because these things fall away because you're told to prioritise the required work that government's putting down. And a lot of that is very much busy work and not core to what academics believe they do. I would say the same for students, actually. I think as students, as a student body, you're compelled by underfunding to work more hours in paid employment. Mm-hmm. You're given lots and lots and lots of assignments. We over-assess. It keeps you really, really busy and you don't have time to sit around as a student body, talk to each other about the big issues and take action. Students don't have time to sit down and go, well, actually, you know, that rise in fees is unacceptable. We're going to work together to fight it, because they're busy going, I have to go to work to get my next paycheck to make sure I can pay my rent so I can go to my class tomorrow. And that churn, that stops us being real people. So I think we have seen what I would say is kind of overproduction of unnecessary kind of things to causing us to discard what is really crucial to us, which is learning, teaching, being the critic and conscience. So we've set those things aside unnecessarily, but because we're being driven by a system to be more efficient.
And so the article said that it's time to reform the true meaning of academic freedom with publicly funded and publicly responsible tertiary education systems. What does this look like to the Tertiary Education Union, and how far away are we from achieving it?
So it's about saying, we're not just here for the economy. We're not just turning out workers. Actually, the real point of university is to turn out people who have had a transformative experience and become great citizens, great workers, great family members, great leaders in their own field. That is something we have to start acknowledging. As I say, we're lucky that the current Labor government has started to signal it believes in the public good part of the tertiary education system. The next bit we have to agree on is the only way to get that system is actually we all have to agree to contribute a little bit through taxation. We've got a lot of ground to cover and a lot to recover. So we need, you know, at the budget, a signal from the government that they care about students, that they care about human, social, economic and environmental progress, and a plan on how we're going to get back. our public tertiary education system and get rid of market models, which has so undermined our jobs.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.